Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, I'm by myself, as you can see, but I'm here to talk about the Astros and the Orioles series. The Astros get the sweep, still no Kyle Tucker, and JV to the injured list. So Kyle Tucker, this is what I read about him, out for the next series. He's running or walking on the treadmill, but no on-the-field work. So the bad news is Kyle Tucker's out. Good news is he's coming back soon. And the good news is the Astros have won 3 series in a row. I think they won 4 games in a row. Great little run here for the Astros. This is what they got to do. Just keep winning series. We talked about them playing good teams and playing up to the level of the good teams. Well, when they face bad teams, they got to beat them. Like when we lost to the first game of the White Sox, everybody was angry, but, you know, we overcame it and we won the series. All right, let's get to the game. On Friday, Jake Bloss got called up and he got the start. Bottom of the first, Yordan grounded into a double play. There's a lot of scoring in this series. And then Altuve scored from third. The Astros up 1-0. Bottom of the second, Altuve had an RBI double. Singleton scored. In the top of the third, O'Hearn, a force out, and then Santander, an RBI single, were tied 2-2 after 3 innings. Top of the fifth, the Orioles take the lead on a Mountcastle sack fly. That makes it 3-2. But in the bottom of the fifth, Jake Myers, I think this was his only hit of the series, a 3-run bomb. His 7th home run of the season, Alex Bregman and Yiner scored. The Astros take the lead 5-3, and then the Astros go off. The Astros go off in the bottom of the sixth. Joey Loperfido, who I think should never get sent back down to AAA. The guy's a stud. RBI double brings in Dubon. That's 6-3. Altuve, another RBI double, brings in Cabbage, 8-3. Yiner Diaz reached on a fielder's choice. Altuve scored 9-3. John Singleton, a 2-run single. Alex Bregman and Yordan scored. 11-3, but we're still not done, and it's still the sixth inning. Dubon, RBI double, brought in Yiner, 12-3, and then Loperfido, a 2-run double, brought in Singleton and Dubon. The Astros up 14-3 going into the seventh inning, and you're thinking this game is over. Top of the seventh, Henderson had a home run. That made it 14-4, and then the Orioles kind of went off in the eighth. Mateo, a 2-run homer. Henderson, a 2-run homer. That made it 14-8. Mountcastle drove in a run with a double, 14-9. And then Santander had a 2-run bomb. That made it 14-11, and it made it a little closer than any of us were comfortable with, I guess. The Astros scored 9 runs in the sixth, and the Orioles scored 7 runs in the eighth. So both teams went off in one inning. A lot of offense. 14-11. So usually, we talked about this in the past, if you score over 10 runs, are you going to score the next day? Both teams score over 10, so we'll have to see what happens. Bloss went 3 2/3, 6 hits and 2 runs and a walk, 2 strikeouts. He left the game injured, I believe. Dubon, 2 1/3, 3 hits and a run, no walks, 3 strikeouts. He picks up the win. Nick Hernandez, 1 3rd innings, 5 hits and 5 runs. He gave up He gave up 3 home runs, and he was sent back down to Sugar Land. The Astros are making tons of moves. We got injuries. We're just adding pitchers. Scott, no runs in 1/3 of an inning, and Brian Abreu, scoreless inning with 1 hit. Jake Myers, 1 for 5. 3 RBIs. Altuve, 3 for 5. He drove in 2. Singleton, 2 for 5. He drove in 2. Joey Loperfido, 3 for 4. And he drove in 2 runs. Bregman was 2 for 5. He drove in a run. Diaz, 1 for 4. He drove in a run, and Dubon, 2-for-4. He drove in a run. The Astros, 11 runs on 18 hits. Wow. 7-for-14 with runners in scoring position, and they left 5 on base. Overall, that's awesome. You score 11 runs, 18 hits, 7-for-14 with runners in scoring position. That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. So there was so much offense in this series, and game one, is that was page one of my notes. The entire game. That's how many runs and how much offense it was. So Saturday was Ronel Blanco, who's been lights out. He had 2 bad games, and that's it, but he's bounced back, and he's been tough ever since. Top of the second, Westberg, a home run, 1-0. Bottom of the second, the Astros tie it up with a Dubon sack fly, brought in Yainer Diaz. That made it 1-1. In the bottom of the third, Yordan had a 2-run homer, 16th home run of the year. Chaz scores 3-1, and the Astros would not look back. Bottom of the fifth, Chaz, solo home run. And bottom of the eighth, Chaz had a home run. So 2 solo home runs for Chaz McCormick, 5-1. That was the final score. Ronel Blanco was tough. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run allowed, 3 walks and 4 strikeouts. Gave up 1 homer. He's now 8-2. 8-2 with a 2.34 ERA. Presley pitched the eighth. No runs, no hits, and a strikeout. And Hader, 1 inning and a 2 strikeouts. Chaz was 3-for-3. He drove in 2, had them 2 solo home runs. Yordan, 1-for-4. He drove in 2 runs. So the Astros, 5 runs on 6 hits. They were 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position. They left 1 on base. So compare that to the day before. What was it? 7 out of 14, and this was 1-for-4. And the Astros, 5 runs on 6 hits. That's very efficient, very efficient. And if you have a guy like Ronel Blanco who goes 7 and then Presley does his job, Hader does his job, you don't really got to score too much. Dubon had the, Yordan, 2-run homer in the third. That was all the scoring we needed, but Chaz hit a couple to give us a little insurance run. So here's a note from this game. The Astros had 6 total hits. Chaz McCormick had 3 of them. Good job, Chaz. 3-for-3. He drove in 2. All right. Sunday, Framber Valdez. We're going for the sweep. If you saw it, Framber Valdez has a new haircut. Actually, he tied hair on, I guess. Will it help? Let's check it out. Bottom of the first, Altuve leads off the game. Actually, not the game because of the home team, but he leads off with a home run. 12th of the year. Yiner had an RBI single, brought in Bregman, 2-0. JP, 3 RBI double, brought in Yiner, 3-0. And Dubon drove in JP, 3. The Astros started this game off awesome with 4 runs. No scoring till the fourth when Yiner had a sack fly. We're up 5-0. Westboro had a home run in the 6th, 5-1, but that's all the scoring that the Orioles would get. JP, 3, a 2-run double, brought in Yiner, 7-1. Bottom of the 8th, Yiner brought in Altuve, 8-1. 8-1 win for the Astros. That's the final score. And they complete the sweep against one of the best teams in the American League. I think they're 2 games behind the Yankees right now, and the Yankees are really tough. Framber, 7 innings, 6 hits, and 1 run. 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, and 1 home run. B. King. I don't want to say his name because I wrote it down and I looked it up, but I can't remember. I want to say Brian or something like that. I should look it up. But anyway, it's too late. No runs and a strikeout. Great job. And Contreras, 1 inning, a hit, no runs. This was both of their debuts. Both of their debuts for the Astros. Altuve, 2-for-5. He drove in a run. Alex Bregman. Now, I read off the scoring. I mean, Alex Bregman scored in the bottom of the first. He had a great game. 4-for-4. 4-for-4 for Alex Bregman. Great job. Yiner Diaz, 3-for-3. Drove in 3. And JP, 3. 3-for-5. He drove in 3. So great job by Yiner Diaz and JP, 3. Also, Alex Bregman, 4-for-4. So now we have to do our Ramshirts players of the series. And it's not us. It's me because I'm by myself. And this was a little tough. But anyway, I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll tell you who are my Rams Church players of the series right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, I'm back with more Astros baseball, and it's time for the Ramshirts Players of the Series. Don't forget, go to ramshirts.com. Oh, no, don't do that. Go to astrosbaseball.com. You can go to ramshirts.com and buy some shirts if you want. Go to astrosbaseballpodcast@gmail.com and send that email in with the word dad. And win a shirt for dad. Why wouldn't you want to do it? You better hurry up. It's the 23rd already. You're running out of time. All right. So between Blanco and Framber Valdez. Uh-oh. We have Steffi. Steffi's showing up again for the... Yes. She's showing up again for the Ramshirts Players of the Series. Just in time, Steph.
Oh, man. Perfect timing. We love to see it.
Wow, I just got back from break, and then you showed up again.
I'm like magic, man. Let me tell you.
Yes. I haven't even named my players yet, so that's perfect.
We love it.
So we got pitcher. I was going to say it's got to be between Blanco and Framber Valdez. So I want to hear your choice, and I want to hear why.
Ooh, yeah, for me, it's also between Framber and Ronel. I think I have to go with, God, I don't even know.
So let me tell you.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
They were the last two games, right?
Yeah. Last two games.
So Blanco, they both went 7 innings. Blanco only gave up 4 hits. Framber gave up 6. They both gave up 1 run. Blanco had 3 walks. Framber had 2. Blanco had 4 strikeouts. And Framber at 7, and they both gave up a home run. So close.
Insanely close. It's almost crazy how close it is, to be honest.
I'll tell you who I went with.
Who'd you go with?
I went with Framber because he had 7 strikeouts and only 2 walks. I think that's pretty awesome.
I was actually also going to go with Framber. I think because with Framber, sometimes he is a little bit up and down. And I think the fact that he had a very strong first inning, he really just set the tone for the game. With Blanco, you almost come to expect that. With Framber, he can be kind of hit or miss. And so you kind of get nervous about it sometimes. So I think the fact that Framber had such a strong start, it really set the tone for the game. And then, of course, Altuve coming up and just, man, crushing that first pitch of the game.
Yeah,
it really put the exclamation point on the first inning. And who would have thought that would have just been the very beginning of it all?
Yeah. So we both went with Framber.
Both went with Framber.
You know, I actually wrote Blanco down here.
Oh, love that.
What did I change my mind for? I don't know, but I'm sticking with it.
Just went with your heart, and I love that.
Blanco only gave up 4 hits. Framber gave up more hits, but he had more strikeouts and less walks. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Framber. I changed my mind.
Here for it.
They both deserve it though. Great.
Oh, absolutely.
If you go into a series and you got 2 pitchers that throw 7 scoreless, I'm not 7 innings and give up only 1 run. That's a winning combination.
Oh, absolutely.
every day
of the week.
I'll take that every series. Oh, the only thing that sucks when Blanco and Framber pitch back to back is the next series, probably not going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
We might see one of them. I don't know. Maybe not. No, we don't. I already have the matchups.
Well, I was going to say it's Colorado for only 2 games. So.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, no, I do got that. Never mind. I'm trying to look at my paper over here. I had to use 3 sheets of paper for notes. There's so much scoring.
Man, what a crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. Who do you got for the position player? This was so tough. I had my mind on who I wanted to win, and then I had to look back and write all their stats down. But I went with Altuve. Oh, yeah.
I think Altuve is a phenomenal pick. I almost want to go Bregman on this one. I mean, Bregman has finally kind of just caught fire. You know, I think this has been such an amazing outing, amazing point in time for him, where he's finally getting hits. He's finally getting on base a lot more often. He's becoming the Bregman that we get used to seeing. And I think when you have those guys at the top of the lineup at their best, kind of like Fromber setting the tone in the first, you know, they set the tone for the offense. And when the guys are passing the baton, it makes it hard to stop them.
Yeah. Well, Bregman went 4-for-4. And he had 6 total hits, but pretty good. But Altuve went 5-for-14 and drove in 3. Bregman went 6-for-13 and drove in 1. So I gave the advantage to Altuve.
Yeah, see, I kind of just didn't go Altuve because you did go Altuve. I was like, I'll go with the next best up.
Well, I'll tell you this. Alex Bregman is my Coach Rose winner.
I'm here for that.
4-for-4? 6-for-13? Come on, Alex Bregman. You get that Coach Rose Award.
I love it for him. See, I went with Joey Liberfitto. I mean, you almost do expect him to be just, like, incredible every game. Kid's just so damn good at baseball. It's kind of crazy. But, I mean, the play he made on Friday's game to hold that game together, huge. I mean, he kept that first inning a lot more calm than it would have been had he not made that catch and left. And, man, he just – that boy is going to be fun to watch for a very long time in that outfield.
I said that earlier in the show, that Liberfitto is back on the team and he should never leave again.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
He had that one good game and he was up to 379. I know it's a small sample size, but I mean, yeah. I think it pretty much shows that the guy's pretty good.
He's insane. I love
it. And he makes awesome outfielding plays.
Oh, 100%.
That catch off the wall where he caught the rebound and then grabbed it, just that was one of the most beautiful outfield plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was beautiful. He's just been amazing. And like you said, I hope he never goes down again. I hope they keep him up. I think he's showing why he deserves to be up and consistently. So I hope they continue to give him that opportunity, because at this point he is very much deserving.
All right. Now we go to standings. If you notice, I'm super lazy and I never do the banners anymore, but I don't really care. I got to write notes for 30 minutes. I'm busy enough as it is. So if you look at the standings, Seattle's 45-35, so they're 10 over 500. 5-5 in their last 10. And I think, did they lose today? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they lost today. The Astros 37-40. Oh my God, we're getting so close to 500. We're 6.5 games
back. We're 38-40, not even 37. We're 38-40.
Why is my phone wrong?
Yeah, we are 38-40 right now.
Well, that irritates me.
Rangers are 37-40.
See, the stats, they didn't come up yet. Let me look at the standings. You're correct. So we are 6 games back.
6 games back.
We're 6 games back, and the Rangers are 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 38-40. Wow. 37-40.
Crazy.
So none of these are going to be good. So I got to look at my phone now. We are 7-3 in the last 10. Seattle's 5-5. Texas 5-5.
Mm-hmm.
The LA Angels of Anaheim are 30-46. That's so anybody that thought the Astros, and I made my TikTok video today, anybody that thought that the Astros were going to stay down there with these guys, they're just nuts. Nuts. Yeah. The Ranger fans coming at you. You can't do it this year. You're going to suck. But anyway, they're 13 behind and Oakland's 16 behind.
Wild.
So I think, let me look. Now I got to recheck it. The Astros, okay, I got this correct. The Astros are 4 games out of the wild card. I'll take that any day. Baltimore, they have a 7.5 game stronghold. Minnesota is one behind. There's three teams get in, right? And Boston's in. Kansas City's half a game out, and we're the second team out. Not bad.
It's getting close. And again, we're not even at the All-Star break. And that's one of the things that, like, in the beginning of the season, I wasn't getting too down about too many things because it's such a grind of a season. I mean, we have started this year with so many injuries. They've only gotten worse. And somehow we are still so close to that wild card spot. Again, the season's a grind. Other people are going to have their issues. They're going to have injuries. Things are going to happen. And the fact that the Astros have come back so far, gotten into that second place spot, and they've just been fighting. And it's been awesome to see and to have them make this kind of push right now, right before the All-Star break is amazing.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, three series wins in a row, and then they sweep the Orioles. The Orioles are really, really good.
They are a great baseball team. They're amazing.
So next up is the Rockies. So what I did is I wrote next up, and then I wrote after that. And I was like, whoa, we play the Mets. But anyway, next up is the Rockies. They're 27-51, two-game series. Last time we're blow the White Sox away. But this is a two-game series, so we got to handle business. I don't want to go 1-1. Yeah. I don't mind going 2-1, but I don't want to go 1-1. Hunter Brown's pitching on Tuesday. The Astros are off tomorrow. He's 4-5 with a 4.72 ERA, and he's taking on Gomber, I guess. 1-4, 4.36. So that's going to be a pretty good matchup. But the way Hunter Brown's been going, the way the offense is going, advantage Astros. And then Wednesday, Spencer Arrighetti, who's 3-6. 6.36, and he's facing the guy Feltner, who's 1-6 with a 6.02 ERA. So it looks like we're probably both young guys against young guys, but I think our young guys have been pitching awesome, and our offense has been, I don't want to say super awesome, because they did have that one. I think the pitching's probably carrying us more than the offense, even though there was that 14-run outburst.
Wild. Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited to see what we do against the Rockies. Obviously, we had that series with them in Mexico City, and it feels like that's really when the Astros turned everything around. I think that that was such a catalyst for where they are now. So to have that chance to hopefully get two again from the Rockies, you got to take it. You got to go in there. You got to win both of these games, and we got to continue to, you know, make those little waves to continue to go up those standings and see if we can get to that top spot. I mean, you got to do it though. You got to take two.
Yeah. Seattle's been good though. They don't seem like they want to relinquish it, but I think Wally said it before, just keep winning series and we'll just exactly. Keep catching up. You know, I saw this thing today about what, you know, teams are, what they're looking for, the buyers and if they're going to be buyers or sellers and what are they looking for? And I said the Astros might go after starting pitching and first base. And there's three pretty decent first basemen out there for us to get if that's what they think they need.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. Because, again, Singleton, he hasn't been bad. He can work a walk better than most, I think. And we kind of talked last week a little bit about how that's one of the biggest things we've seen this season is these guys aren't walking. They're not taking pitches. It almost feels like sometimes they're being a little bit too aggressive to where they're swinging at things that last year they wouldn't have swung at. Yeah. They would have taken the walk. It almost feels like for a little bit, because maybe they did feel so far behind that it almost became a little bit almost, I venture to say, desperate.
Yeah, pressing.
Because they were pressing. They were trying to get those big hits, but no one was taking the walk. No one was getting on base. And so it'd be nice to see the team as a whole get back to that, but you do see walks from Singleton more than I feel like just about anybody at this point. He's much more willing to work a count. And so I think that's one thing that he really brings to the table. I mean, Joey Loprefito, obviously he can play first as well. And then you have Doobie who can play literally anywhere. And at this point with him doing so well and on his hit streak, and he's just rolling right now. So it's also like you want to have him in the lineup too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I would much rather us go after that starting pitching. I think we have guys that are getting the job done, but having some guys who can maybe give us a little bit more consistency. I love Spencer Arrighetti. I think he's doing great with what he has right now, but you know, if we can go after somebody big, if we can get someone who we feel like is going to give us a little bit more depth, a little bit more, maybe just stability, you know, until JV comes back, I think that that'll be a big deal. And hopefully JV's back sooner rather than later. But you know, I mean, when we have guys going down left and right, you just kind of expect the worst at this point. So I'm like, let's just get another guy just to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we do need one, and I think the team thinks they do need a pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And I mean, yeah, these guys are doing good, but do you want to go into October to a high level playoff game with some of these guys? Probably not.
Yeah.
Kind of look at Jolks, how good he was all year last year. And at the end, I don't know if he got tired or what, but he kind of tailed off at the end, but he did so great. But I think some of the names I saw in there was like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Pete Alonso. Like, that would be crazy to have one of those two guys, even if it was for half a year.
But also too, it's like, with the little bit of depth that we have in the minor league system, do you really want to give that depth away for half a year?
That's right. It depends on what they want.
Yeah. It depends on what they want. It depends on if they're trying to take a big name for a guy like Vlad, for a guy like Pete Alonso, because those are big players. And I think at this point, Vlad definitely needs a change of scenery. I think, you know, as nice as his time in Toronto has been and as almost nostalgic as it probably felt, I think it's his time to start looking at, you know, looking at next year.
Yeah. I think the first baseman also from the White Sox is on there, but I don't know his name. I can't remember it. But they said he's pretty good, and he has like 2 years left of arbitration. So he's not a very expensive choice. That's a pretty
expensive option, which is
he's an expensive option. He's not a Mercedes. You know, it's not a pretty pickup, but who knows what the Astros will do. We'll see.
Yeah,
and then after that, after the Rockies, a 9-game road trip, 9 games. They face the Mets, who are 36 and 39. They face Toronto, who's 35 and 32. And then Minnesota, 42 and 35. So they got three teams in a row under 500. And then Minnesota. And I have all the confidence in the world when they play really good teams. What stresses you out is when they play bad teams. It's like, come on, dude. But I'm not expecting any kind of sweeps. I know they swept the Orioles, but nobody expected that. I just want series wins. Just keep it rolling.
Exactly. Again, and at the end of the day too, with Seattle obviously being in that first place spot, the only thing you can control is what you're doing. And if you continue to win those series, like you've said, like Wally said, the things are going to take care of themselves, you know? So I mean, focus on what you're doing, focus on the next game, continue to try and get hits, try and get wins, and, you know, try and get there. That's as much as you can do. I will say the Mets, that's one that I'm definitely, I mean, they are on a hot streak. Ever since Grimace threw out the first pitch at that game, they have just, I mean, they've been on fire, 8-2 right now. In their last 10 games. So I think that one's going to be an interesting one to see, maybe a little bit of a test because they have been so hot lately. But I mean, I think when the Astros are clicking and when they're having fun, and I know my dad and I were texting during the game, that's one thing he said. He was like, it looks like they're having fun again.
Yeah.
But how can you not have fun when you won a game with 14 runs on Friday? You win the series on Saturday, you come into Sunday like, hey, we already won the series. Like, what do we have to lose? You know? So I think that took a little bit of the pressure off. And when they're playing loose, when they're having fun, they play good baseball. And so, you know, I feel like maybe a little bit of that vibe, that feeling is starting to come back, and I'm all for it. Keep it rolling.
The Orioles scored 2 runs this weekend.
Crazy.
Wow. All right. I feel like I'm missing something, but I don't think I am. I think it's time for Fair or Foul. You ready for that?
I'm ready for Fair or Foul, always.
I'm so ready. All right. I don't know if you got to look it up. It's the Father's Day hat. Have you seen it? I mean, not the Father's Day hat.
The All-Star
cap. Have you seen it?
I have.
The bluey, orangey, whatever that is. Have you seen it?
That
Fair or Foul.
Foul. Will I still buy it? Highly possible.
I like it. I say Fair. I like it.
See, I don't like it for Texas. It doesn't make sense for Texas. If that was a Miami, like if the All-Star game was in Miami, in Tampa, yeah, something like that, it would make a lot more sense with the colors and kind of like that. It almost reminds me of like a Miami Vice kind of vibe, I guess, yeah, because of the colors being a little bit brighter. For Texas, I would have expected something more Texas, yeah, I guess.
The National League ones are a little better.
Yeah, the National League ones I feel like are actually a lot better in my opinion, which is kind of, yeah, weird. But it's just kind of a weird vibe.
It's like old school. They're trying to go retro 70s with that stripe going down the middle.
Yeah, but it's like a weird retro, like a retro that kind of doesn't, yeah, make sense almost, you know?
The stripe on the American League has like two colors, I think, and one of them's orange. And a little piece of the star on the Astros hat just blends right into it, and it kind of, I had to look at it for a second. I was like, what is that? Why? Oh, they're both orange. Yeah, Miami Vice. That is so good.
I'm telling you, that's what it reminds me of, the colors themselves. It's just weird for it being in Texas, for it being in Arlington. It doesn't make as much sense to me for, yeah, that game. Again, if it wasn't the All-Star game hat, I'd probably like it, yeah, a little bit more.
So someone on Twitter was saying, why don't they just go back to where it was the old days, where they just wore their uniform?
Yeah.
And I think that would be cool, but it's all about making money. They make, yeah, hats for everything. The more they make, the more they sell.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, again, they're always going to have hats for the All-Star game. They're always going to have jerseys. They're always going to have everything because that's how they make the moolah, for sure.
All right, so we didn't agree. Okay, number two. I've already given this away in the podcast. The fair or foul, the Astros will be buyers at the deadline. That is fair.
Very fair.
Very.
I think, you know, we're not in the same situation that the Angels were in last year, where it was no one was expecting them to win. They just were kind of like making their way into possibly being in the playoffs, and they became buyers, or they were trying to be buyers at the deadline. I don't know. It was a weird situation with the Angels last year, but with the Astros, there's always that expectation of October. There's been, yep, that expectation ever since 2015 when they snuck in that year. 2016, I mean, working for the team, we were legitimately disappointed. We did not make the postseason, you know, because I think everyone started. That's when it started, was in 2015. And then, yep, since then, you have that expectation of October. So, of course, you're buyers. Of course, you're buyers at the deadline, yeah, especially with how close we are.
I had read somewhere that the Rangers won't be buyers. They're not going to drop a bunch of money. Last year they did it because they wanted to win a World Series, but they said they already won one, so they're not going to break the bank this year. So we'll see about that.
I'm intrigued by that for sure. Yeah, very interesting, but yeah, I would be shocked if they're not buyers, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll pick up something.
I mean, yeah,
Scherzer came back today. They got DeGrom coming back soon.
That's true. Yeah. So they do have guys coming back from injury, but we've seen how that can go, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine. Can you believe that literally at the beginning of the year, we're like, man, we're going to have all these guys back by July.
Yeah.
And now we're like, maybe we'll have them next year.
Yeah. What did you hear something about them? Lance McCullers and
not Lance, but obviously Urquidy was one of those.
Oh, yeah. Urquidy, yeah,
was one of those that we were like so hyped, yep, to have back. And then,
oh, yeah,
here we are.
Yeah, but we'll have Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia, yeah, back pretty soon. So that's exciting.
I am excited about. Well, let's, fingers crossed, we will have them
if
back.
They come back and stay healthy, which, I mean, there's really not a lot of time for them to find out. So will they pay? Will, sure, they go out and get a starter with those two guys coming back? Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe, but also, so, too, are they going to come back in their regular form? Lance McCullers hasn't pitched since Nam at this point. So it's like, you know. And you hope he comes back and he's, yeah, just throwing that curve and striking everybody out the way he did with those 27 pitches in, what was it, 2017. But,
yeah,
you know, you hope that that's the Lance that you get back, but there's no guarantee. So I feel like you do have to get, I think, at least one piece to feel a little more secure in case one of those two guys comes back and isn't at their top tier level.
Yep. Can never have too many. and those got other guys that you don't put in there, they can go to the bullpen. Hunter Brown can go to the bullpen. Arrigetti can pitch out of the bullpen.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, number three. You believe this guy's got some flack, so I want to ask you how you feeling about him now. You believe in Josh Hader.
I never didn't believe in Josh Hader, so fair. I never had a doubt. I mean, people were talking crap on my video of Josh Hader's entrance, and I was like, man, he's going to be fine. Don't you worry about it. You know, people talking about his 6 ERA, which was, like a month ago?
Yeah.
And now that ERA is down quite a bit. He's finally doing what he came in here to do. So I say fair. I have always been a Josh Hader believer. I was hyped when we got him. Was sad for, obviously, Presley, but I'm a Josh Hader fan.
Yeah. Well, I believe in him also. I'm just like you. I haven't not believed in him. I'm a little disappointed that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And it could have been, you know, new team, big contract, kind of pressure. But since May 1st, I feel like Wally right here. Since May 1st, 2.04 ERA, 22 innings pitched, 12 hits, 4 walks, and 33 strikeouts. Jeez. Let me repeat that, folks. 4 walks and 33 strikeouts in May. God, that man. 2.04 ERA.
Also, you're only half a Wally. Wally would have known that off the top of his head somehow.
Yeah. He'd be collectively, in the first inning, he does this. No, I'm just kidding.
He would.
All right. So we both believe in him. So I really didn't have all of the so if you guys want to know how my mind works, let me tell you this. I only had 3 fair fouls, but I had number 4 and 5 written. So I was destined to think of 2 others. And I have this little card here.
Okay.
For a Brazilian steakhouse.
Okay.
Where you
and I was like over here, like I was over here looking like a grandma sending a selfie, like, what is it?
So you don't want food if it's red. You do want food if it's green. So a while back, I went to a Brazilian steakhouse downtown, and I wasn't a fan of it. I got one little bowl of mashed potatoes. I don't remember any sort of salad bar. And I was like, it's just a ton of meat. I didn't care for it. But they have this new place over here called Brazil, and it has a humongous salad bar. They have pineapples, they have chicken, they have shrimp. They have all these different things where you're not just eating steak. And now I was foul, but I'm fair now. Fair on the Brazilian steakhouse.
So I've never been to a Brazilian steakhouse, but it's my dream. I want to not eat for 3 days and go to a Brazilian steakhouse and eat my weight in meat.
And you'll get the meat sweat.
It's my dream, Rob. I mean,
it's pretty awesome. So I grew up, my dad ran a steakhouse growing up. So I'm around steak my whole life. And the guy comes to the table and he's like, bottom sirloin. And I'm like, what? Bottom sirloin? I never heard of that in my life. And it was so good. So if they offer you a bottom sirloin, you better take it. So we both. I don't know. I'll say fair, and I'm going to say fair for you because you said you want to go.
Yeah, I want to go. I've just never been.
All right, so all you Gen Xers or older guys, you're going to have an older guy's opinion and a young lady's opinion. Because I've been seeing this. I don't know why it's trending, but ankle socks. You know what that is?
Question. Are we talking ankle socks? Okay, so this is your leg, right? They go up to here and they're on your ankle. Are we talking no show?
No, not no show. Ankle socks.
Okay, so we're talking like the ankle ones where you can see that little bit of white, right?
Yeah, that's totally foul.
I think it depends on, like, if you're like an old man and you're wearing them with like your K-Swiss, I don't hate that. But like
old
white
men
K-Swiss.
Wear K-Swiss?
My dad does.
Oh. Yeah,
call my dad old. Oh my god, my poor dad.
Like I could care
don't
less.
Listen to the pod, Dad. Sorry.
You know what's funny? There's a lot of guys at work that I'm the age of their dad. I'm like, you could be my son. But anyway, yeah, I don't like them. I never did, even when they were popular. Yeah. I didn't like them. I'm a no show kind of guy.
I'm a no show kind of girl too. I don't wear ankle socks. It's just not my thing.
No. I think I used to want to play golf, and we had that weird. I used to play a lot of golf, and all of us that played golf, we had dark legs and super white feet. We were white all over, I guess, except our arms and our legs.
I was going to say, you white? No.
Oh, yeah.
Shut.
I'm also super white. I am favorite, super duper white.
Our favorite little guest star is here to say hello. Say hi.
Hello.
Can you say hi to the people?
You should put his name on your thing underneath it.
No, right? He's like so over this. He's like, man, he's like, not been home all day. And yeah. Now you're ignoring me for a podcast.
He's like, I've already been on like 12
episodes. Mama's got to pay for your cat food, okay?
Yep. All right. Well, that's all I got. You got any final thoughts for everybody listening out there?
Ooh, final thoughts. Ooh, yeah. I do have final thoughts. I'm very excited. I am going to do my first batting practice on the field as a season ticket holder on Tuesday. And I also got a pass for my birthday. So I'm going Tuesday and on July 9th. Very excited to get on the field for the first time in a long time for batting practice. I think it's been years, to be honest. But yeah, I get to go watch batting practice, hopefully interact with some players. See, I'm going to be a little more chill this time, but on my birthday, I will have a sign that says, can I get a selfie for my birthday?
Nice.
And see how many selfies I can get from players, because I feel like that'd be really cool.
Will I wear a foul? Steffi will get more than 5 selfies.
Actually, I get more than 5 selfies normally. Like at spring training, I've got almost selfies with the whole team at this point.
Yeah. I say over.
I just don't act really nice to them. I just try to be respectful. I think that's one of the things that people got to learn. Like they're people too. Like if you say, hey, will you please take a picture with me? Or, hey, can I please have a ball? But understand sometimes they're going to say no, and that's okay. Yeah. But, you know, people just, they don't have manners when they're out there. But I try to have manners when I am interacting with players at any time. So sometimes that gets me some extra selfies, which is nice.
Yep. That's how you ask people to be on the podcast.
Exactly.
So sometimes I don't do a lot of guests lately, but when I did, I would have people message me, how did you get that guy on the show?
I said,
if you have any free time, I would love to have you on the podcast. Thank you.
Exactly.
If you have free time.
I love it.
It helps to be nice, folks. That's my final thought.
It helps to be nice, 100%.
Your birthday is July 9th?
Cosign, retweet, repost, whatever it is now. I don't know. Re-X, I don't know.
Re-X. I don't even know what they call it. What do they call it?
I think it's just repost, which is so boring.
So stupid.
So dumb. But yeah, my birthday is July 9th, so.
Nice.
I'm excited.
About my 4-day weekend for July 4th. And also awesome. My mother is moving to Texas on June 28th. So she will only be 2 hours away from me instead of 8.
So exciting. Oh my gosh. Does she have like movers and everything or?
I think she sold everything.
Oh, wow. So she's just moving.
Yeah. And then my brother's going to go pick her up. My brother's flying over there.
Awesome. He's driving down with the car.
And then, because my brother all of us already set up a room for her, so she doesn't need much.
That's awesome.
She's good to go.
We love that for mama.
Well, with that said, folks, this is going to be a weird episode because I did the commercial at 10 minutes and we're hitting 42, so it's going to be pretty weird. Anyway, for Steph, I'm your host, Rob Fontenot, and we will see you next time. We'll see you next time on Astros Baseball.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.